You're listening to the Mission Church Podcast. Each message comes from our Sunday morning gatherings where we worship in community, study God's Word, and grow in our faith together to the glory of Jesus Christ. The Mission Church is committed to helping each person belong and believe and to equip them to embrace the call of God upon their life. We pray these messages will build your faith and encourage you today.
Hey, we're jumping into the book of Acts. And what is amazing is to watch God moving. The book of Acts is really the acts of Jesus. They're the acts of the Holy Spirit through Jesus' lordship. It's Jesus still building his church. And what's awesome to watch in the book of Acts is who are the players? Who are the men that God used? Who? The disciples. And we look at the disciples and we kind of know them in hindsight, like after they've already done all these great things. But may I remind you, they were regular dudes. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were regular guys. They bickered among themselves. They had egos. They were striving to say, hey, I think I'm better than you are. Who's the greatest? Well, I think I'm just... And that was going on. They're regular guys. But they met Jesus. And their lives did not transform like magic. It wasn't like God sprinkles fairy dust on them and then bam, they're different. But they developed a relationship with the creator of the universe. They began to spend time with him. They began to see how he spoke, how he acted. They saw his humility. Can you imagine the creator of the universe being humble? It's mind-boggling, is it not? Mind-boggling. Creator of the universe became a man. And he chose not to come as a king in a palace. He chose to come to a poor family as a babe in a manger. And he submitted himself to the regular things of the world that you and I go through, a regular guy. Lorenzo, can we pull these lights down just a little bit on me? They're like blazing. I feel like I'm getting a suntan. Regular guys. And these regular guys, with all their sins, with all their faults, with all their failures, with all their weaknesses, with all their insecurities, with all their egos, with all their pride. Can you relate to some of that? They learn what it means to be a man by being with the man. What we are about here in men's ministry is learning how to be the men that God has called us to be. Well, that's a big difference. Learning how to be the man God has called us to be. Look at the back of your book. Did you get your Acts book? Yeah. By the way, special thanks to all the team who worked so hard on this. A lot of work went into that book. I think you're going to love it. It is the best study guide we have ever produced. And I've been doing men's ministry for a long time. I personally think this is the best study guide we've ever produced. And I think you're really going to love it. But look at the very back page for me. This is our men's ministry manifesto. It's what we're all about in men's ministry. And I'd like to hear you read it with me with a thundering, unified voice. Our men's ministry, we live to be, read it with me, men who embrace the call of God that is upon their life. More than a cliche, more than a just a nice thing to say, I want you to know God designed you on purpose. Your strengths, your abilities, your character traits, both good and bad, your weaknesses, the things that you wish were different about you, God designed you with those things. And he made you with weaknesses and with strengths. And oftentimes we bring our weaknesses to him with mourning. Lord, please. And he says, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I've got a calling on your life. Don't worry so much about that. You keep your eyes on me. You walk with me. I'm going to use your life powerfully. So we live to be men who embrace this call of God that's upon our life. It's a call to know him. It's a call to know his mind, to know his heart, to know his character, to know his wisdom, to gain that wisdom for ourselves that he wants to impart to us, that we might be men of substance, men of character. And read with me the second part of this, our men's ministry manifesto. We live to be men who are what? Builders of other men. That is part of the calling that is on your life. Remember, these guys were fishermen, tradesmen, right? I mean, up early, going to work, getting off the work, hitting the bar, just living life like a regular guy. And Jesus said, hey, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Follow me. I've got better things for you. Nothing wrong with having your occupation. Yeah, but that's not what your life is about. I've called you to be a builder of other men. And I tell you, as men, we're so selfish that we lose sight of this. And we walk around trying to build moi, right? And we lose sight of this. And spending time with Jesus, Jesus reminds these guys, your life is not about your business. Your life is not about your career. Your life is not about making money. Seek me first. I'll take care of all those things. But your life, I've got a calling on your life, and I want you to be a builder of men. In order to build other men, you have to have wisdom. People don't listen to knuckleheads. People don't listen to foolishness. And God wants to impart that wisdom into you. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to pretend. We have to spend time with our face to face with Jesus. And he puts it into us. And then the third thing that is our men's ministry manifesto is we live to be men who display the lordship of Jesus Christ in our actions. We take the right path, even when it's hard. Because Jesus is the Lord of our life. We take the right path even when everyone else is going on this path. We stand against the tide. Why? Because Jesus is the Lord of our life. The Lord of our life means the authority, the governing body, the one who calls the shots, our boss. Jesus, we live to show his lordship in our life. And I want you to know, when we do that, when we avoid the sway of the world and we stand in the lordship of Jesus Christ, it is there that wisdom is seen in your life. It is there that discernment begins to shine brightly. It is there that character begins to reveal like, wow, there's something about that. And it's then that you become a builder of others. They'll come to you for advice. They'll come to you for wisdom. They'll listen when you speak. We're going to see in the book of Acts, Paul gets shipwrecked. He gives advice in the beginning of the shipwreck. And the sailors go, dude, what do you do, little preacher boy? I've been sailing for decades. And they don't take his advice. Guess who they're listening to by the end of the sail? And the captain of the ship is coming to Paul. And all the men on the ship are coming to Paul. How did that happen? Paul embraced the call of God upon his life. Paul was a builder of other men. Paul lived for the lordship of Jesus Christ, and it was shown in his actions. And as a result, God used him powerfully. The book of Acts is a marvelous book, and it doesn't sugarcoat anything. And I chose it for you men on purpose over prayer because I really believe we are heading into times that are very parallel to what was going on in the book of Acts. Do you know what was going on in the book of Acts? Nobody wanted this church Christianity thing to take off. It was a black eye. It was a swear word. The most powerful religion in the world hated it. And Rome thought, we don't need one more sect of radicals. And Rome was trying to squash it. And in a world that is hostile to Jesus, Jesus built his men and Jesus built his church. And we are now in a post-Christian nation. This was once a nation that was built on the precepts of Jesus Christ, on the precepts of the Bible. But those days are long gone. This is a post-Christian nation. And we're not living in Jerusalem anymore, if you will. We're living in Babylon. And the world is getting increasingly hostile to Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you of some things. The book of Acts repeatedly demonstrates that even though this world is hostile to Jesus, even though this world is hostile to the gospel, even though this world is hostile to the lordship of Jesus, where he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. The world hates that kind of stuff. But even though the world hates all that, I want to remind you, in the book of Acts, the world shook its fist at Jesus. The world shook its fist at God's men, but Jesus prevailed with tremendous power. Think about what the early church was up against. You have this brand new infant church. Imagine that you were one of those disciples. You probably know more than most of those disciples did of the early church. And you get saved. And now you're at a world that is hostile to you. If you're Jewish, nobody comes to your bagel shop anymore. If you're a Gentile, you've got all kinds of opposition coming against you what are you doing? Rome would eventually institute emperor worship, and if you worship Jesus, you're going to lose all your stuff. There was opposition in the early church. It is amazing the church ever got off the ground with the opposition that it had. But it did more than get off the ground. In Rome's powerful Roman government, they tried to squash Christianity. They threatened, they arrested, they beat, they tortured God's men. And through it all, God showed himself strong. They told those men to quit preaching, to quit talking about Jesus, to quit making disciples. But do you know what happened? The more that they were oppressed, the more that God's men were oppressed, the more that Jesus blessed. And I really believe we need to be prepared for that same day that is coming upon us very quickly. And so that's why I wanted to go through the book of Acts with you. They arrested God's men. They whipped them. They put them in prison. But Jesus could not be silenced. And the more force that Rome used, the more power and blessing that Jesus would pour out upon his men. And I don't know about you, but that excites me. I tell you what, I've already seen it. We planted a church here. We bought a $4 million building, property. And you know what happens right after we bought the property? A little thing called COVID-19. And the government says, shut down the church. Don't meet. And we said no. And you know what happened? All that persecution, God just poured out abundant more favor. And I don't know how many of you were here then. We're meeting out in the parking lot on a little rickety stage and rickety stuff. And you know what happened? The Lord builds his church. And the same thing happened in the book of Acts. The more God's men were oppressed, the more Jesus blessed. Say that with me if you will. The more God's men were oppressed, the more Jesus blessed. It wasn't just the Roman government fighting against God's men, against the Church of Jesus Christ, the most powerful religion of the world at that time by far was Judaism. And these disciples, God's men, would go and they'd plant churches, putting their life at risk, going from town to town, we're going to study it, planting little churches, setting up little believers, pouring their whole heart into them, raising up leaders, building the church. And as soon as they would leave, the Judaizers, the religion of the day, would come in and say, no, 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 none of that's right, and they'd try to tear down this work. But do you know what happened? The more God's men were oppressed, the more Jesus blessed. We have exciting times coming ahead of us. But if we are not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, do you know what will happen to us? We will capitulate, and we will not stand against opposition, and we will not be blessed. Those who turn and cower in opposition do not see the mighty hand of God. Do you know what you have to have before you have a mighty miracle? Do you know what you have to have? An impossible situation. You cannot have a mighty miracle until you first have an impossible situation. And God loves to move in impossible situations. And He loves to show Himself strong. The more God's men were oppressed, the more Jesus blessed. And the book of Acts is just full of unexpected reversals by the mighty power of Jesus. At the end of, you look at things, it's like the, here we are, 2,000 years later, where's the Roman Empire? Where is Judaism? Look how God blesses this work that He has done. Just amazing. It's interesting, as we go through Acts, we'll see in fear of Jesus, Rome really ramped up their persecution. And as they ramped up their persecution, they went after some of the top dogs. The first guy, the first apostle martyred in the Bible, you Bible scholars, who was it? Who was it?
Stephen.
Not Jesus.
Stephen,
the first apostle.
James.
James, the first apostle martyred was James. Rome ramped up their persecution, and King Herod Agrippa, he ordered the beheading of James, one of the 12 disciples, the brother of John, and he thought, surely that'll squelch this Christianity thing. And yet, the more God's men were oppressed, the more Jesus blessed. Herod then was groping for more power after he beheaded James. And next he goes after Peter. And you remember what he does with Peter? Throws him in prison. Beats the snot out of him. And there in prison, Jesus comforts Peter. Peter's in total peace. He's not stressed. He's not worried. We're going to read in weeks to come when we look at what happened there. He's taking a nap. He's sleeping. And there while he's sleeping, a giant earthquake. The world is shaken because God wants to use His man. And the more God's men were oppressed, the more Jesus blessed. And over again, we see it. And the gospel went out in extreme power. It could not be stopped. Again, I want you to know, we too are living in a world that is hostile to Jesus. Nothing has changed. And the days of Rome are coming back in full force. But I also want to encourage you, the powers of this world are still no power for Jesus. Still no match for Jesus. And men, I want you to know, Jesus is for you. I am so thrilled about men's ministry because I know this is the center of God's will. I mentioned that in our leaders' meeting, and I probably mentioned it to you last year at the beginning of men's ministry, but it is worth mentioning again. Hey, pat yourself on the back. Do you know where you have found your butt tonight? Right in the center of God's will. And I don't know about you, but that thrills me. Because there's no other place I want to be. It is the center of God's will for you, the men of the church, to be discipled, to be studying God's word, to be surrounding yourself with like-minded men who have a passion to make Jesus the Lord of their life, who have a passion to discover this calling that is on their life and to learn how to walk in it so that their steps reveal the lordship of Jesus Christ, whether they're at work, whether they're out surfing, whether they're at home, or rather at a neighborhood party, their life is revealing the glory of Jesus Christ. So men, rejoice. You are in the center of God's will, and you have done a magnificent thing by joining men's ministry. Present yourself to Jesus as the Lord of your life. Talk to him about it. Lord, I want to grow with you. I want to know you. I want to know your mind. I want to know your heart. I want to reveal your lordship in my life. I am thrilled tonight to be in the center of your will. I know that you told me, Jesus, if I ask anything in your name, it will be done for me. And tonight, I know I'm in the center of your will, so I can ask. I want to be a man of God. I want to embrace the call that you have on my life. I want to learn how to make you Lord in every decision I have. I want to reveal to others your wisdom, your grace, your mercy. Lord, I'm your man tonight. Meet me here. I was walking with a friend yesterday. We played pickleball and went out for afterwards, our wives and us, and we were walking, and our wives are walking ahead of us, and it was Chris Robinson. Chris and I were walking on down the 101, and we're talking about how God got a hold of us. And for each of us, God got a hold of us pretty hard and said, hey, you know, you're mine. But we both shared our stories, and both of us had a similar thing that happened to us before that moment. We were praying, Lord, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And we weren't praying at one time or one day, but it was a series of months in our lives where we were continually saying we were pagans, we were unbelievers, but Lord, if you're real, whoever you are. It wasn't an eloquent prayer. It wasn't a biblical prayer. It wasn't a theologian's prayer. It was a sinner's prayer. Lord, if you're real, I want to know you. Amen. But men, can I remind you of something? The Bible says that Jesus is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And tonight, I want to just encourage you. I want to commend you. I want to say, well done. You're here seeking the Lord. And I have found that the Lord, he's wise, like he's patient. His timetable is different than mine. You're probably not going to have your Nikes blown off tonight. You're probably not going to wake up tomorrow radically different. That's a fake religion. I love that song by Cohen. What's his name? Robert Cohen? What's his first name? Leonard Cohen. Thank you. Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen. Hallelujah, right? It's not someone who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Man wants a spiritual, super hit me on the forehead, knock me over backwards experience. And Jesus says, I will build you over time. And if you continue to seek me, I am the rewarder of those who diligently seek me. And so I want to commend you tonight, man. Way to go being here. You have done a magnificent thing, joining men's ministry. And he is richly going to bless you. I realize that in this culture we're living in, many men have no idea what it means to be what? A man. We are so confused. Have you seen these interviews that are on social media and stuff of like, how do you define a woman, right? And nobody can tell what a woman is. Well, you know what? The same is true about men. Now, you know, we know what a man is, right? I mean, man has a penis. Pretty easy. But I'm talking about, can't believe I said penis from the pulpit. I have to get in trouble at some point in every message. I don't know why I do this. But what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean? We get lost, right? We grew up thinking that being a man was like being really good at sports, winning. And so we devoted ourselves to playing sports and to being the fastest runner or hitting the baseball the farthest or pitching the fastest or you know, whatever. I did. My sport of choice was racing motocross, and man, I put everything I had into it. And we go through that, right? And then after puberty, something happens to us, and women come onto our radar. And then we think winning looks a little different. Like, winning is like, how many women can we win? And we try to win women. And we go after that. We think, man, if you get enough girls, you're the winner, right? Like, and then something happens. We wake up. And all the things that we thought were trying to bring manhood to us haven't brought manhood to us. And all the things that we thought would bring substance to us, we feel empty and our dreams crash. And we realize that being good at sports and being good at sex does not make us a man. And I tell you, a lot of us get left with a lot of scars at that time. Scars of broken relationships. Scars of broken hearts, scars of porn addictions and different lusts that are now controlling us. And we go, man, what happened? And what does it mean to be a man? And so then we kind of get a little older and we think, well, being a man means being successful in business. And so we try to be a strong, powerful, rich guy. And we try to dominate business and we try to climb the corporate ladder and we labor at it at all costs, man. We get up early, we stay late, we devote ourselves, we read the Wall Street Journal, we try to be the king of the hill at any cost. And few ever make it up to the top rung in the ladder. But even if you do, you realize, man, it's pretty lonely up there. And I may have a lot of stuff, and I still don't know what it means to be a man. A lot of shrapnel along the way, a lot of broken relationships, a lot of trampled peers and associates trying to climb the ladder, maybe a divorce or so. And we wonder, like, gosh, what do I do now? This too is a very empty life. And presently we're being sold something else. We're being told now that being a man means being tolerant and that there's no such thing as absolute truth. You know, and being a man just means that you go along with everything, and there's no male or female gender boundaries. There's no roles of men and women, and commercials make men look like they're idiots, and women are leaders, and guys are competing in women's sports. And I bet it feels really good to be like a pro tennis player or a pro volleyball guy, and you go beat some women. That's got to make you feel like a man. True. But it shows you how confused we are on what's going to bring value to life and what being a man is. And then we're told there's no such thing as sexual morality and that everything is good. You can be gay, you can be trans, you can be non-binary, you can be just whatever. You can be a sexual deviant and you just say, I was born this way. I learned a new thing not long ago. There's things called furries now. I didn't even know what that was. I was real thrilled to learn that one. And we're looking like idiots, aren't we? We don't even know what it means to be a man. And with all this chaos surrounding us, we're losing our way. We don't even know what it means to be a man, and we're neutered. We're not leading anything. We're not building anything. We're not fighting for anything. And we're wondering why we're empty. You were created to walk with God. You were created to be used by God. You were created to be a builder of His kingdom. And if God seems if God seems distant to you, I'd be willing to bet you're not embracing any of those things. Because when you embrace those things, I promise you this, God will seem very near to you. He promised that to the nation Israel. They would say, the other nations, the other men of the world, they'd look at him, they'd say, who are these wise and understanding people who have so much wisdom and discernment, whose God is so near to them that they can call upon him for anything they are facing, and he will give them wisdom and direction and guidance. Who are these people who build a legal system, a civil system, a judicial system, a government that is so profound that families can thrive? Well, this is what it means to be a man of God. Guys, can I remind you, do you know why you like winning? Do you know why you wanted to be the fastest runner, the fastest pitcher, the best football player? Do you know why? Because God created you to be victorious. And Paul would say, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child, I understood as a child. But when I met Jesus and I became a man, I put away those childish things. But the reason you like winning is because God made you to be victorious. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers of this life. We've been made what? Victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're meant to win. Do you know why you like a good fight? Because God created you to be a warrior. And when you quit standing for anything, you quit fighting. And you wonder why you're a wuss. You wonder why you're not substantial. You wonder why you're not respected. Well, you don't fight for anything, man. Nobody respects someone who doesn't fight for anything. You got to fight for some things. And do you know why you like respect? Because God made you to be a man of substance, a man of wisdom, a man of character. And when you are, you'll be respected. You won't be running around trying to do things to get respected. You'll just be respected. And that's a big difference. We were created by God to be warriors, to be victorious, to be leaders, to be builders of men, to have fellowship with God. And if you were here Sunday, to have dominion over this earth. And men, I am so excited to look around and see this many men, because I tell you what, we can conquer some territory together. We can conquer some ground together. And we can make an impact. This is a lot more than just about you and me feeling good about ourselves. We can go change this world and be used by God to save this world, not from sin, but from foolishness, right? By pointing people to Jesus Christ. And we can bring health and life back into this community. And I tell you what, I remember starting the mission church with just a handful of men in my living room. And look what he has done with that. Well, if he can do that with that, what can he do with this? And I'm so excited. I can't even wait to see how God's going to use you. Jesus did not say, follow me and I'll make you a flimsy, foolish person who doesn't even know what it means to be a man. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Or in other words, I'll make you a builder of men. And so you're in for quite a journey. Remember, your sons first. Your sons of God first. I want to encourage you, use this study to spend time with Jesus as a son, to seek his face, to have him put his hand upon you and say, son, this is the way. Walk there in it whenever you turn to the right or to the left. Having a father's approval is a powerful thing. And you are first a son of God. And you will know your role, you will know your value, you will know your worth, not by what you accomplish, but by whose you are. And so sit with him and get your face on him and pray to him. God, I want to know you more. God, if you're real, I want you to show yourself to me. I want to learn your ways. Lord, I commit myself. This study, 26 lessons. Some of you are going to fall by the wayside. Some of you are not going to have perseverance. You're going to get in, you know, you're going to have a hard day, and you're going to have a hard day, and you're not going to come. I want to remind you of a proverb. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is weak. Show up, stand up, and watch God build you. God doesn't build warriors into warriors. He builds faithful men into warriors. Just show up. Make it a priority. Don't deceive yourself to say, it's not that important. Just 1 week. No, 1 week turns into two. Two turns into three. And then you're gone. Show up. The Lord will really bless you. Be seeking him. Let him lead you. Join him in this good work he wants to do in you. You're not here by accident. He called you. Put him first in your heart. Put him first in your marriage. Put him first in your family. If you're struggling with sin, no sweat. Just start confessing that sin to him and say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me today. I'm starting over today. And watch God's power work in your life. Men's ministry will help you know what it means to be a man. It'll help you know what it means to be a man of God. It'll help you learn how to walk with Jesus, how to know his mind, his heart, his will, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, how your worth and your value is determined on his love for you and his hand upon you. And I tell you, man, that is an incredible place to be. It's going to help you embrace the call of God that's upon your life. It's going to help you fulfill that men's ministry manifesto. Commit yourself to this. There's 26 lessons. We've broken it into three segments. This first segment is 10 lessons. Commit yourself just to this first 10 lessons. I'm going to be there every single Tuesday for the next 10 weeks. You will grow strong as you do. You only have to make it to November 14th. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. Just 10 weeks. And once you make that, you'll have more stamina. And then commit yourself to the next section. The other thing I'd like to say is, as you go through this homework, know that some time and thought and praying on the Holy Spirit went into that, and I believe that God really wants to use it to speak to you personally through his word. So don't put it off until Monday night and cram for Tuesday. I mean, if you have to, you have to, right? But I mean, you're going to get a lot more out of it if on Wednesday you open your Bible and you start meditating on these things. I used to tell my kids all the time, don't do all the work and not get the paycheck. Do the work early in the week. Let it meditate in your heart, and you're going to be radically blessed. I want to encourage you to care for the guys in your group. I know as men, we like to be solo, right? Like just, I got this, I don't need anything. Yeah, you do, you really do. And you'll receive so much more if you connect with others. You have some gifts that you want to bless others with. Pray for them. Get a couple guys' phone numbers tonight. Call them up this week. Encourage them. Shoot them a text. Invest in this. Start being a builder of men right now. We start with small steps. You can't embrace the call of God upon your life by saying, I'm ready to plant a church. And it doesn't work that way. I'm ready to preach this Sunday. It doesn't work that way, right? We start with building one guy. We start with pouring into one man. So take it literally. Embrace this call. Be a builder of men. Start tonight. Like I said, get a phone number of a couple of guys. And embrace men's ministry. And watch Jesus build you into something significant.
You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.